A, our beautiful evening's talk is going to be about Break the Bloom. And it's like, I hope that touches every single person listening and who will listen in the future, because I believe we all have many of those seasons or moments that become an aha moment in the practical sense. And also we get to live through it to see a new season show up. So I'm very happy to present Susie and Dr. Liz Liza with us tonight, and just to hear their hearts, to hear their stories, and I'm sure we'll all be related to, you know, our own journey or somewhat related to that. So, Susie, could I ask you to open up with prayer for us tonight?
Sure. Let's everybody just take that deep breath, coming fully present, even deeper than Mary Kay already started us. Breathing in all the love that is ever, ever, ever waiting to fill us. Beloved one, as we have been powerfully and unexpectedly baptized into a time of great change, where inner and outer storms rage strongly, where that which once served, once was acceptable, once was good enough, is being challenged, uprooted, broken, or broken open, you are our strength, our refuge, and our guide. We surrender to you our confusions, our pain, our fear, and our reluctance. Can we open ourselves to receive your grace in new ways, new forms, and with deeper trust and deservability? We allow you to break us open, knowing you will resurrect our hearts, our lives, our faith, and our offerings in ways that are better aligned with our divine blueprint and that of humanity. And it is with deep humility and profound gratitude that we surrender and we empty until we are filled only, only, only with the truth of who we are. And as that truth, we remember, as A Course in Miracles states, nothing real can harm us, and nothing unreal exists. Therein lies the peace of God. And it is with this peace that we fill our hearts to overflow, so it becomes our offering with each and every heartbeat and breath. So be it. Amen.
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 What a powerful blessing that was. Thank you, Susie. I know you always have a rich blessing within you, you know, over the years that we've become really good friends, you know, ministers, co-ministers. The idea is just sharing what's within us and our stories. I really believe help transform not only my life, our community's life, the world as we touch. You know, it's such a beautiful thing. And hey, almost 25 years with us, we might be growing a little bit gray, you know, at least in my hairs. So, but the wisdom does come through, does it not? You know.
Yes.
Dr. Liza, so happy to have you with us tonight.
Thank you so much, Padre, for including me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You know, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. I like to maybe throw people under the bus right away so you get used to it.
I don't know anything about that.
Liza, when you got the invitation to co-host with Susie and I, what was your first positive reaction?
I'm so glad you asked, because it was really a process of feeling worthy of receiving your ask. And I probably asked for support from five people. And basically, I realized I was asking for permission to accept it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So I really, you know, we are an incredible student body at Celebrating Life, and I just feel so honored to represent, you know, the group of us, the wisdom that all of us working so deeply and intimately with God. So thank you. Thank you for including me.
You're welcome. You know, when the Holy Spirit gave me this title, Break to Bloom, then I asked the second question, who do you want to help with that? You know, and Susie was the first name that came forward. And then I just kept pondering and, you know, over the names of, you know, all my communities. And then you lit up and it's like, oh, I think that's a match. You know, so it's like, okay. It's not like, well, it's like picking a rabbit out of the hat. You know, it's just,
yeah. You
never know what comes, but I learned to obey that still small voice. And you happen to be one of those that, okay. And you said yes, because I do respect people who could not because of circumstances or whatever that might be. And then we'll move on to the second choice. But so happy that you're with us. But I think this is such a rich title or theme, you know? I think I'm going to start with Susie tonight. And Susie, when, you know, that theme came to birth, so to speak, you probably lived that 5 times already in your lifetime or more. So,
yes.
So where do you want to start in your journey, or how would you describe in your language, lingo, Break to Bloom? You know, what does that mean to you?
It means that for me, maybe for many of us, that we're not always so gracious to just say, okay, this is what's
good
next,
answer.
Okay, and just step into it and let go of everything that no longer serves without resistance, because it's the resistance that causes pain. It's really not the change. It's the resistance to change. And so that I still go through the process, breaking to bloom, having to be broken open. And I think it's, you know, we need the reminders and the supports and the guides to stay in divine flow. And sometimes just like a seed, you know, is housing so much beautiful life and possibility and grace. Because how does a seed grow without grace? You know, it needs sunshine, and we know that, and it needs other things. But I could plant a stone in the ground, and it's not going to grow with sunshine and soil and water, right? So there's something of the God force that's more alive. I think it's also in the stone, but more alive in the seed to reach its potential. And all the seeds have to crack open in order to become what their divine blueprint. Because even, you know, I am not the best gardener. I live with a beautiful gardener, but I am not the best gardener. And she is incredible, but she doesn't hold that divine blueprint that's in that seed. She just is the midwife to bring it out, which I think is that's your role with our community. You've done that a number of times with and for me.
You're welcome.
To midwife something new and to let something go. And there's one thing, when I was looking at all of this, when you introduced us to the title, and I know Liz is going to talk, I think. She had presented some beautiful thoughts. And I just want to say that, Lisa, that what you sent in response to the inquiry that Padre sent out to us was so beautiful that there was not one resonant tone of, I can't step into this. It was so beautiful. And
thank you.
And I know you're going to talk about that, about seeds and things. So after reading, you know, what you wrote, I was looking at other ways to take examples from nature. And the one that I really wanted to share tonight was what some people might say is an old story, the caterpillar becoming the butterfly, right? We all know it has to go in a chrysalis. And I think many of us have heard the story of how if the butterfly doesn't go through pain and struggle to get out of the chrysalis, it doesn't have what it needs, right, to do its transformation successfully. But something else that I think is really speaks to the story of transformation that people may not know about the butterfly is that once it's in the cocoon or that chrysalis, literally needs to digest itself. It releases enzymes. Enzymes are like the spark plugs that catalyze every biochemical reaction in body. So the caterpillar in that cocoon releases enzymes that literally dissolves itself. That if you cut open a cocoon or the chrysalis at that particular time, that phase, all you would see was liquid goopy stuff. Like, wow, could I do that to myself? But guess what? Inside that amorphous liquid are blueprints for and the ability needed to grow a body, wings, legs, etc., that get activated by that enzymatic soupy stuff. And many of the blueprints, they're called imaginal discs, actually existed in the caterpillar, but were dormant. And I love the saying, there was one caterpillar expert who said, some caterpillars walk around with tiny rudimentary wings tucked inside their bodies that you would never know it by looking at them.
Wow.
And I love that image, and I want us all to have that image of walking around with rudimentary wings tucked inside our bodies, waiting to be developed and revealed by what? By our willingness to surrender, to dissolve, literally, right? And to break open, often with pain. You know, I mean, that's, we seem to, you don't have to do it with pain, so I'm told. but, you know. But
I missed that minimal many times.
The limitations, the attachments, you know, that, that we create with the illusions of our five senses, you know, what we think is real isn't real. And what we're birthing is closer and closer to, or more and more, the expression of the eternal. So I'm just so grateful that we have midwives and, you know, doulas and, and celebrating life and communities like this to support us and give us the strength and courage and the reminders and sometimes the mirrors of this sacred process.
You know, you're, I mean, you're well known to be a midwife for those having a cancer experience, you know, and how much you carry them through that process, because it's all about fear. It's all about dying. It's all of that, that stuff that we get caught up in. And to have someone hold your hand through that process is huge. And I've known you've helped grace many people through that. So, you know, through the years that you've studied yourself and make yourself known in that process, that journey for other people. You know, when you talked about the inner wings in there, you know, what came to me is like, well, we actually have like angel wings within us. Once we let go, we can allow the angels to lead us to this new place, you know, called peace, called a future for us. And each one is like another step that we need to take. And beautifully said, Susie, so much. And I love what you already are sharing with us. And I hope people are taking notes tonight, because I think there's going to be beautiful nuggets that are going to be shared that I think we either said, oh, I've been there, I've done that one, in a very positive sense, or I can learn from that, you know. So, Elijah, what is your break to bloom? What is your rendition of that? You know, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. My whole life is probably can be summarized.
There you go. Join our family. Yeah.
I was like, and oh, that's just so beautiful, Susie. The wings that we carry inside, and thinking about those, and some wisdom that I recently received from Bobby. Well, I'll come back to that, because it'll make so much sense. But I wanted to share a little bit. Let me find my quote here. I have a quote first. It's from Gabor Mate. He's one of the people who inspires me the most. He's a psychologist and a Buddhist. He's an addiction specialist, and he also was a baby during the Holocaust. So he's a Holocaust survivor.
Wow.
And he writes, the essence of trauma is a disconnect from the self. Therefore, the essence of healing is not just uncovering one's past, but reconnecting oneself in the present. And we can kind of rephrase this as the essence of trauma is a disconnect from inner communion with Source. Therefore, the essence of healing is not just uncovering one's past, but reconnecting to our true union in God in each present moment. And sort of
beautiful.
With that, oh, I know, right? I mean, it's just, it's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there were lots of ways that I could approach this because I've broken, I grew up in a difficult childhood. I lost a partner to suicide, and I personally broke open in a million pieces. I've done years of therapy, breaking and healing. And yet all of those are in some ways really kind of, if we're going to use the earth metaphor, like topsoil for this depth, this womb of inner communion, this fertile path of awakening to God, that's what I really want to speak to. And Susie, it was your words that I hope you'll return to when you talk about your new writing that really inspired me to share more vulnerably and more personally tonight or today. So when I came to CLM and I didn't know how to do this, all of this. I didn't understand it. It didn't make sense to me. It didn't look, like the Zen community. It was a different aesthetic. Like the whole thing was like, where did I land? And but presence.
What is your background? If you have a religious background.
I was raised culturally Jewish, but my father was really political, and so there was sort of no God in all of that. It was just cultural.
Sure.
And then my mother's family come from a long line of faith healers, actually.
Wow.
And so these two really odd combinations came together.
Yeah.
They didn't stay together
very
long.
There's Elijah.
But so when I got there, it took me a while. I was pretty firm in my resistance, but eventually presence has a way.
Good for you.
Doesn't she? And she broke down my defenses and bypassed, my resistance, and my heart just really opened. And reality, as I understood it, just changed. My vision changed. I had been sick for years. I healed miraculously. I healed from Lyme and mold, kind of like what my dear Barbara had mentioned. Everything began to shift inside me. And it was the community of gentleness and love. It was like I had arrived in the Holy Spirit's nest, and with all these divine chicks just like bursting out of there. So the call came and I answered. And just like I have done everything in my life, I kind of went big, ego blaring. I was sending poetry and opinions and just like I did everything.
Yeah. I understand that myself.
I know, but you were so polite at first. You kind of let me do that.
She's referring to reports that that are assigned that, you read a book and respond to that, which is a beautiful thing. I love reading those.
But after a while you were like, okay, enough of, you can stop sending me poetry now. You could stop, sending me ego. You're winding soliloquies. That's enough of all of that. And
I don't know what that word means, but I agree with
it. I know. It's like a long, endless poem. It's your personal hell realm. And so I tried, at first I was offended, my ego hurt, ow, and I wanted to leave
quitting,
the program. I considered quitting, but presence wasn't having any of that. The deeper and more true knowing inside said, pause, there's learning here. He's not seduced by you. He actually wants to know the truth under the topsoil. And what I've come to learn, Padre, is that is actual, that's cosmic love. That's true love. That's God's love. Because Yeah, even though I have a gift with words, no doubt, and I could be funny, yes, yes. It's all very beautiful, and I still write poetry, you know, and I still write papers, and Barbara still asks me to be more vulnerable.
Yes, she does. Yeah,
she does. But that I know now that I trust in that. I trust in your guidance. I trust in your wisdom. I don't want to live on the topsoil. I want to experience and know in every breath, in every present moment, this deeper union with God. And so there was this breaking, you know, into the depths of the cosmic womb, you know, that deep, rich, fertile soil. And Padre, we worked our way through to that to really grow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our God seed. Yeah.
Well, I love you. You know, it's so beautiful. And I like where we are today, you know, and it had nothing to do with where you were back then, you know, but for me to communicate with someone, I have to be honest. And so we honored each other. But it was a big risk to do that in the beginning because it was right away, you know, and it's just like, you know, because I can endure a lot, not that poetry is bad for me, but, you know, once you stated it the way you did, I do have an understanding of that. So to me, it's the spirit within me is like, okay, we have to go deeper with this one. Because God can give me an insight and I can allow it. Let's put it that way. Because like, we don't always speak the same language, but if the heart is there, we will, you know? Yeah. And so you're a beautiful example of that. And the kindness that you showed me and the respect, that was so huge for me. So I just say thank you for the gift, you know, of yourself. It's beautiful.
Thank you, Padre. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, and like anything, like Susie mentioned prior, you know, the whole thing about our resistance is really where the pain comes in at, the shift. And so when we take these risks of being rejected, you know, not good enough, whatever it might be, you know, it's always an opportunity to grow. And I think you and also Susie would concur with me is pretty much life, there's so much pain in it. And I think it's actually now a good thing. Before, in the beginning, of course, when you first recognize you have to go through something major, it's like, how am I going to get through this? And now, four times, five times later, it's like, oh, I recognize it now. And now I know, you know, we all try to go around it, but eventually we know we have to go through it. You know, and once we do, it's so much less pain and more presence that carries us then, which is, I think, such a gift to each other. So, Susie, in your, not wild, vast understanding of life itself and your journeys, I believe you talked about in Galatians, it says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me, or that Christ consciousness. When do you think that happened or that realization for me? Because we all have opportunities of being broken. And I don't know if we first accept the brokenness or it just happens and then we have a choice. And in that choice, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, this could become a pathway for me for newer things. Have you experienced any of those in your life challenges?
I have, but the one that comes to mind when you were just talking now with, you know, the pathway and celebrating life and how you got started, it brings to mind my experience with just being the willingness to be ordained. I had resistance to this. When I came across the Celebrating Life community, which was just really forming at that time, I didn't know it.
Yes.
I didn't know that I attended the first retreat. You know, I just called
you did.
Come to this event.
Absolutely did.
At that time, I was in a different seminary, like a program to be, it was a ministry program, but I went into the program with resistance to getting ordained. I just wanted the knowledge. The teachers were incredible. I was also raised in a Jewish household. If you remember, we joke about this. I was the token Jew in the beginning.
You were. That's true.
And I also have Holocaust history, by the way. My parents both came from Germany. But so interesting that we're both on this call tonight, you know?
Yeah.
But, and I was also raised with religion was more a cultural thing than a religious thing. In fact, I once had a conversation with my dad. I asked him if he believed in God, and he said no. And I said, then why is it so important to go to temple? And, you know, I mean, at least on the high holidays certain things.
Sure.
And it wasn't like to appease other people. That, like, that had no place in there.
Right.
It was just important to him. So I asked him that, and he said, because we paid a price to keep this culture alive. And it's important to me to keep it and keep the rituals. And I had this aha moment at that time. This is before I started any of this. It's like, so you want religion without God, and I want God without religion. and it was a really clean moment with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, when I was in this other seminary program, I said, can I be in this program but not get ordained? I had a real issue with organized religion. And my teachers for that program told me yes, but she had a funny look in her eye when she said yes. So she knew something I didn't, right? But I didn't know that. And then I went to that first event with Ron, the first retreat.
It was a retreat. I think it was.
And there were a lot of really sick people there because initially that was who Ron drew, you know, because he was known as a healer.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I wasn't ill. That's not been my pathway. Like so many people who've come to Celebrating Life or anywhere on their path is through the body challenges and the healing.
Yeah.
I have other ones, thank you, not that one. And I received my first communion, you know, from Ron, and I was sitting there going, I wonder what I'm going to take away. I didn't doubt I was receiving, but I wasn't going to have a physical healing that I would be aware of. And I was wondering, what would I receive? And about 2 weeks after the retreat was over, I started hearing this voice in my head saying, you have to get ordained. I'm like, and I'm in this argument. I don't want to get ordained. You have to get ordained. I don't want to get ordained. So, I mean, this went back and forth like a little kid, right? Which I was.
Of course.
Way.
Yeah.
And I finally went to my teachers of the, you know, of this ministry program, and I said, look, supposing I wanted to get ordained, where am I in this program? I really had no idea because I wasn't trying to hit all of the requirements. I was taking the courses and classes that I wanted, and it turned out, you know, about 6 months. So, and that's when I knew, she knew all along that that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I get ordained, and then I start hearing this voice, you have to have a ministry. I don't want a ministry.
You're so obedient to everything, aren't you?
And then came the ministry. Then Ron offered his training, and I knew I had to do that one. So the person who didn't want to be ordained has been through two seminary programs and another ordination. That was really big because it opened up what Ron and Celebrating Life continues to do, and you were certainly an integral part because nothing would have run without you. And by the way, Lisa, Ron was the master at getting rid of ego, much more so than Audrey here. And he, I don't know,
he would have had a field day with that before, and everybody would understand
call,
that if
but...
they knew Ron.
I don't know how many people here had those experiences, but that was one of the things he had designed, or he was designed to do, was to shake up our egos, like get rid of them. If you want to stay in the community, you had to drop it, you know?
You had to drop it.
People did it. No, they
were. Literally.
But, And
maybe we'll have a new requirement for our student program now. See, you missed that one, and, Liza, so now you can move beyond that.
But it was what I was given that really opened the path and just dissolved the resistance was having an intimate relationship with a loving presence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been what allows, not always graciously, but that's what allows the surrenders and the promise. I mean, the guarantee, in my book, it's a guarantee of resurrection into whatever is next. You may not like it, and you may not even survive the body for it. There's no guarantee on that one either.
Mm-hmm.
But know that we're on this journey and that it truly is a loving presence that created the seed, that cracks open the seed, that allows the leaves to fall when that, you know, lifespan or that seasonal span is over.
Yeah.
And without that knowing, and then being reminded at times when fear gets stronger, that we're, you know, that who we are is eternal, and that I don't know why I'm really using the word guarantee. I don't usually use that word, but that's the promise.
It's a fit. Know,
that,
it fits.
No, go ahead.
I said another word for me using that, and I love the words you're using, Susie, is I call it devotion. When we hit a place of presence that we can trust the person, God, angels, saints, light beings that are going to take us to that different place, when we hit that, then there's we know someone's carrying us or moving us in that direction, because almost by that time, we totally surrender. I don't know what to do anymore. And it's in that place that finally Spirit can take it, in essence, can take us and move us forward. I know that has either happened or you've had that experience, Liza. Can you share a little bit about devotion or the template for that?
Yeah, I can. I talk about and feel into the concept of devotion in so many different ways. I mean, but kind of colloquially, it's like a staying with, you know, it's staying with the discomfort. It's staying with the difficulty. It's a capacity to begin to build, Susie, what you're talking about, like it's hard sometimes, and our capacity, our devotion to that inner union is this staying with it. This trust in that love, because it pulls us through. And the more that we can develop, I can kind of speak in, I'll put my doctor hat on, you know, the more that we, in therapy, most of the work is learning devotion, like devotion to our higher self, devotion to this inner